Welcome to The Excellent Fiduciary, a podcast from Roland Criss, where we explore what it takes to meet and exceed the demands of managing a retirement plan in today's complex market. Now, let's begin today's show with an introduction from our Roland Criss host.
Well, thank you, Eric, and welcome to our audience today. I'm Ron Hagen, chairman of the Fiduciary Standards Committee at Roland Criss. It's my pleasure to host today's podcast, and our subject is going to focus on retirement plans qualified under the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or what we will refer to as ERISA. This episode has the provocative title of Where Did All the Trust Go? During our last podcast, we talked about how high-profile cyber attacks on retirement plans over the last 2 years have stimulated concerns among regulators about the threat that cybercrime poses for the assets held in all types of employee benefit plans. Today's podcast is taking a bit of a different turn. We're going to pull back the curtain on the investment advice and record-keeping market and examine the reasons that trust in vendors of those services has dropped noticeably over the last couple of years. With me today in the studio is our guest, Roland Criss's President and Chief Operating Officer, Ron W. Hagen. Ron joined the firm 16 years ago and has managed just about every major component of our firm's client servicing and operations areas. Today, he oversees a business that serves colleges and universities, nonprofit hospitals, financial institutions, professional service organizations, and commercial enterprises all over the U.S. He's an expert on ERISA, risk management standards, and is a widely sought-after speaker. I'm glad you could interrupt your busy schedule, Ron, and be the guest experts on today's podcast. Welcome. We're happy to have you with us.
Well, it's a great pleasure to join you today, along with our listeners. The topic we're covering runs deep in our convictions as a company, and it's my hope that there are some clear takeaways for retirement plan committee members as they listen in.
Well, I'm sure there will be. Less than a decade ago, trust was a go-to descriptor for corporations and executives that oversaw their organization's assets, either in foundations, nonprofits, and also, of course, in retirement plans. And CEOs, chief financial officers, and even human resource executives trusted well-reputed investment firms to deliver on promises of exponential returns. But we've had some very significant negative developments in the market. The Bernard Madoff financial catastrophe was, of course, the one that I think we think of the most as being the kind of the pinnacle of financial catastrophes. But there had been, it seems, scandal after scandal since. And all of that has worked to squash the notion of unqualified trust in investment service providers. Even just recently, the FBI raided Vantage Benefits Administrators, which is a 401k plan record keeper and a plan fiduciary, over what the FBI said was its concern that money may be missing from retirement accounts that the company manages. And the accounting is already at $14 million, according to the FBI. Well, a vendor's sales pitch based on trust us really doesn't work anymore, we're hearing. And not just for investment firm service providers, but certainly for executives who purchase services from investment advisors for employees' retirement plans and other corporate assets. The burden of investment fiduciary risk awareness has now shifted squarely back onto the shoulders of the executive class. Well, Ron, it seems to me that fiduciaries, that's executives within a corporation or foundation who make decisions about retirement plan assets or donors' contributions, have to be proactive in directing whether an investment firm is a trustworthy partner.
That's exactly right. Some vendors are very skilled at promoting themselves, but behind what I call three veils of trustworthiness. The first is the veil of complexity, the second being the veil of conflicts, and the third is the veil of authenticity. Their apparent goal is to construct the appearance of being unbiased, highly knowledgeable in fiduciary duty, and equal to their clients with respect to legal risk. However, with these veils in place, many executives and committees dubbed with the responsibility of overseeing their plans, assets, are unknowingly abdicating their fiduciary duties to investment advisors and record keepers and other third-party vendors that don't have the same legal liability to uphold and yet portray themselves as if they do.
I'm sure our audience would really enjoy hearing about these veils of trustworthiness that you introduced. Tell us what you mean about the first one. That's the veil of complexity.
Sure. Let me go a little bit deeper in this. The obscure nature of fiduciary laws and regulations provides investment service providers with a distinct advantage when selling their services to corporate retirement plan fiduciaries. Only a small percentage of retirement plan committees are able to fully comprehend the jargon and legal implications relating to managing other people's money, the selection of various plans, and responsibilities that they must maintain on behalf of their employees. Investment service providers leverage this position as they train up on it and really sink into this advantage, is that they make an easy argument of why they should, quote-unquote, leave it to the pros. And so with the combination of complicated laws, technical terminology and language, and the complex analysis of various investment plans, investment committees often willingly give up control of these decisions to a team of trusted investment partners. And some of these investment partners include categories, labels such as investment advisors, record keepers, third-party administrators, custodians, and also directed trustees, and money managers. And we're in an industry and a time where the idea of having a discretionary manager is picking up a lot of steam, and those are organizations that actually will make investment decisions, construct portfolios out of exchange-traded funds, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, as well as alternative investments. And it's the complexities are growing with regard to understanding these arrangements.
Ron, I think it might help our audience greatly if you could give us some illustrations on how the veil of complexity manifests itself. Is that possible?
Sure. So the complicated nature of vendors' service offerings and pricing models, as well as maybe an overemphasis they place on investments themselves, performance reporting, though important, there is a factor that dilutes the executive team's ability to examine the traits that really count, namely whether the provider charges reasonable fees for their services. That's a law that's required of plan fiduciaries. Whether they possess conflicts of interest, and whether their use of fiduciary vocabulary actually matches ERISA's dictionary. In other words, are their claims too good to be true? And so this leaves the corporate executive team, the retirement committee, investment committee, however they are named in the corporate documents, susceptible to potential fee gouging or worse, inadvertent neglect of its fiduciary duties.
Well, that's a good illustration of how that complex issue that we're dealing with here has the potential for, let's call it distortion. In fact, the Department of Labor, when introducing the conflict of interest fee disclosure rule just 3 or 4 years ago, warned plan sponsors that vendors do have the advantage you addressed, and many, according to the DOL, actually distort market outcomes in their own favor because of that advantage. Well, let's move on to the next veil of trustworthiness that you mentioned, the veil of conflicts. As we examine the key reasons that retirement plans wind up in trouble with the DOL or get hit with class action lawsuits, it seems that conflicts of interest are very often a root cause.
And there's a very good reason for that. One of the most critical functions of the executive class is to maximize cost efficiencies for the company. Investment service providers capitalize by offering several services in a bundled one-stop shop package. From investment advice to record keeping to custodial functions to funds themselves, money management, all of these business units are often offered under one common ownership by a provider. And by nature, these represent conflicts because there's other parts of the business that are benefiting from that single relationship, and have those categories, those provider services, been deemed in the best interest of the plan and its participants and beneficiaries. But it is enticing. And as companies pour over forecasts and budgets for their company, rationalization, cost efficiencies, driving profitability is inherent. And so vendors do make enticing claims that this bundled approach, that these benefits include cost efficiencies for the plan, that somehow by having a single bundled provider, you only have to really keep track of one in order to supervise and coordinate all of the other fiduciary and fiduciary support activities of the plans. Another example of a claim made is that enabling one provider to be intimately acquainted with the intricacies of the company's plan. And this does in and of itself kind of create a hands-off approach, or out of sight, out of mind. And you have to put a great deal of trust in something in order to make a decision. We also use the term abdicate, but it's more of a hands-off approach that has certainly created quite a bit of challenges in courtrooms today that fiduciaries are facing. I would add one more key issue, and that is a conflict that results in benefiting the corporation to the detriment of the plan and the plan participants. We see this manifesting in various circumstances, but one that's very notable is service providers that are bank based, where the lending operation of the bank also has an investment advisory operation and maybe other parts, and there may be arrangements where interest rates offered to the corporation for lending facilities, working capital, and term debt are offered at a lesser interest rate in order to get the assets and the plan. And so this is a no-no. This is one of those conflicts that has a material impact to the plan and the participants.
Well, the last veil of trustworthiness that you mentioned is very intriguing to me. I've not heard this term used until you introduced it. You're calling it the veil of authenticity. Tell us what you mean by that.
Sure. And I could have said in every one of these three veils in the intro is to say that this does not apply to all service providers. There are many that are doing it well, but there are many that have not done well for many years. And as a result, the industry is going through corrections. But in the case of the veil of authenticity, what this means is that investment service providers represent themselves to be genuine, devoted partners to retirement plan sponsors. From their brands to their marketing presentations, RFP presentations, to their detailed regular updates to clients. By all accounts, it appears that these vendors' efforts are focused on helping their clients' retirement plans to be successful. Unfortunately, while fiduciaries may interpret investment vendors' actions to be geared toward the fiduciary's best interests, some vendors are authentic in one thing and one thing only, and really that's their desire to be profitable. Being profitable does not necessarily exist to the exclusion of being ethical. They can both happen together in representing clients' interests. But U.S. pension and trust laws blur this line of profitability versus ethics to an even fainter, shade of gray. For investment service providers, no laws burden them with a fiduciary duty that equals that of their clients, meaning no one service provider or even a bundled service offering bears the same liability that a plan sponsor has under trust law and ERISA. So there is a fundamental misalignment of interests at play. Most committees care greatly about doing the right thing and adhering to the laws and doing right by their employees. Vendors legally have the latitude to care greatly, really only about their level of profitability if they so choose, and not all do, but there's less accountability on the providers than there is on the employers. And so the danger is that investment service providers could be misrepresenting relief from fiduciary risk when actually could be putting the client or the employer in really greater harm if that trust, that authenticity isn't fully vetted in a knowledgeable, wise way. Well, for example, I just have one example I'd like to throw out that we do witness, you know, service agreements, new contracts between employer, plan sponsor, and advisors with fees that are asset-based. We see amendments to service agreements that are an attempt to be adjusting asset-based pricing when really fundamentally there's a flaw with asset-based pricing. So the industry just quite hasn't understood how to reconcile fees that are aligning or in relationship to assets and trying to figure out how those fees equate to value and a benefit to the participants. And we have more information on that particular issue, but that's kind of a hotbed right now in courts and along with fee laws that have been implemented that we can provide, you know, greater detail in a follow-up.
Well, it seems listening, Ron, that this issue of trustworthiness really opens the door to a number of different practical ways in which those responsible for the assets of other people need to acquire some tools and some skills. And I think as we approach the end of today's podcast, it would be helpful if you could summarize what retirement plan fiduciaries should do to penetrate this veil of trustworthiness that you've been talking about.
Absolutely. To make a powerful difference as fiduciaries, corporate executives must uncover the service provider veils that disguise misguided investment practices. For executives and committees that lack an acute awareness of their specific role as fiduciaries, providers are ideally positioned to take advantage because of the inherent desire for a quick fix and brand recognition that fiduciaries often seek. And so four takeaways that I would really hopefully are easy to get listeners' hands around. And those four things are develop skills, inspect practices, measure performance, and continually improve. And by developing skills, there's an easy way to align as a committee as to fiduciary standards of care. That comes in forms of training. There's ways to do that outside of committee meetings so as to not take up valuable time during meetings as committee turnover happens. But there are solutions out there to get committee members trained up and aware to develop skills sitting in that boardroom. The second one I mentioned, inspect practices, really gaining an understanding of what from the committee, the boardroom and governance policies for out through the service providers and service agreements. So understanding how the plan is operating relative to best practices. So inspect those practices and understand how are we doing, and then measure performance, holding providers accountable to what contractually they've committed to. And if the contracts don't have appropriate accountabilities or performance metrics, renegotiate and define those things. And then finally, continually improve, having a process in place that as new laws emerge, like the new fiduciary rule that impacts predominantly the IRA rollover transaction, having a system in place that when those new regulations come in, we have a way of processing them, testing them, and evaluating, is our plan, are we set up to manage that in accordance with fiduciary standards?
Well, Ron, thank you so much for all of your great insights. We're just about out of time, and we greatly appreciate your participation on the show today. For our audience, a reminder to tune into our next podcast. In the meantime, for those issues we've covered today, there are resources on our website at rolandchris.com, and there are tips there about how to perform better in a fiduciary role. And naturally, if you have any direct inquiry or interest in gaining solutions to the kinds of challenges that the veil of trustworthiness might be causing in your own environment, feel free by all means to call us at 1-800-440-3457. Well, thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a great day.